Welcome to The Wild Hunt. We are an unofficial podcast having a casual conversation about the History Channel television series Vikings. We are No Ship Network. I'm your host, Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can reach us at our website at noship.net. And go ahead and click on our contact page, and it will direct you to all the various means you can reach us, either by email or Twitter or Facebook. If you want to support us, the best way is to rate and or review us on iTunes. And thank you for those of you who have been doing that lately. We very much appreciate it. It makes our day. Thank you for joining us today. We are discussing Vikings Season 2, Episode 6, Unforgiven. Well, it was obviously written by Michael Hurst and directed by the same director that directed the last episode, Jeff Woolna. I'm hoping I pronounced right. I don't think that's right. Woolnough?
Woolnough.
It's W-O-O-L-N-O-U-G-H.
If he's listening, you know, write us in and give us a pronunciation, girl. And then we'll know.
And full disclosure, this has been a very weird day. Normally we would have had recorded this by now and probably uploaded it, but it's just been one of those days where our computers weren't working and we've had to patch it all together, so we're dedicated.
We're actually doing, this is the first podcast out of a year and 4 months that we've been podcasting that we're doing it at a different location.
It's the backup spot.
Yeah, it's the backup spot.
It's our second studio.
Yeah, it's our second studio.
I dragged my feet to get everything together, and just had to do it today.
You did it in a matter of hours. It's awesome.
That's what happens when you motivate a slacker.
We're better under pressure.
Yeah.
So before we go into recap, I'm just going to announce we do have a feedback section, which we'll get to at the end of the recap. And all right, so let's go ahead and start talking about the episode. The first scene opens up with a mysterious figure and the seer. The mysterious figure soon reveals herself as Siggy. She wants to regain her old position as an earl's wife. The seer reminds her that in some ways she is fortunate because Ragnar spared her life. She does not see it the same way since Ragnar is her husband's killer. She wants to know if the gods will ever smile on her again. The seer says the gods always smile on brave women. It seems she is fortified by this thought, though I am not sure if she's really a brave woman, personally. Hand-licked, end scene.
She's more ambitious than brave.
Yeah.
And she's kind of annoying at the same time. I mean, I think she should just... I'm not one of those people who thinks, oh, you should just be happy with your lot in life. But really, the seer has a point. You know, Ragnar spared her life when he could have been totally justified in killing her. And she's kind of being a little bit petulant by going, well, is that all I'm going to get out of it? I get to live?
She also hangs out in the main house with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, both of his wives, you know, brought her in.
They both like her. They both, we'll say they both have entrusted her, you know, to certain degrees.
And she's got nice things. She's got a nice place. And the fact that she's able to serve wine to King Horg, that's a sign of status right there.
Oh, yeah.
Because wine, they didn't have wine. That had to be imported.
And wasn't she sleeping with Rollo before her last husband died?
Yes.
So she's just always doing this.
Right, right.
She's always looking for another way up or to stay in status.
Backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
And she was serving more than wine to...
And I thought of something. Do you think the seer washes his hands or wipes them off after the next person comes in? Like, does the next person lick the other person spit off of his hands with dirt?
Probably not.
That's disgusting.
You know what? I think he does. I think there has to be some sort of cleansing thing he does, or else...
Does he lick it off?
Doctors were not even washing their hands until, like, Civil War or even after Civil War times. So that kind of thought about that was, they would work on corpses and then go and deliver babies, like go from one room to another. And
it's disgusting.
Them were dying in childbirth.
Horrible.
No matter how many times I see somebody lick his hand, it just...
Yeah, it never gets nasty. Less disgusting. That's for sure.
So the next scene is opened with an eagle in flight. King Horik arrives to Kattegat with his son. They gather for a feast. Ragnar apologizes for their skimpy food, or skimping table settings, and tells Horik that they had to burn their own stores in order to win back the village. King Horik talks of the attack they suffered under England. Actually, Ragnar tries to ask Elendur first, and Elendur just, like, puts his cup to his face, like, his mouth, like he wasn't going to comment. And Ragnar noticed that he was evading the subject, and King Horik took over the discussion. So Elendur's hiding something.
Yeah, I can't. I was trying to figure out what it was. You guys have any ideas, any speculations on that?
Maybe the raping they were doing? After?
Could be. Maybe he's in league with the king.
We really didn't get a big scene.
Mm-mm.
No, I mean...
Oh, Horik.
Yeah, Horik. another conspiracy theory we can kind of pop up there, like with Hork. And,
because
you know,
we never really – he wasn't with Athelstan and them when they were raided, you know, so maybe they did meet and he set Athelstan up, you know, and
Maybe.
Yeah, it's something to consider because you don't, if I recall correctly, you don't get a scene where you see, you know, them getting actually attacked.
Yeah, we
it's just that hunting party that gets, you know, hit with all the arrows, right?
Because King Hork wasn't with them, right?
No, no. Nor his son.
I didn't recognize anybody but Athelstan.
Yeah, they were a bunch of red shirts besides Athelstan, more or less.
Ragnar asks of Athelstan. King Hork says he does not know, and besides, they should not talk of him because he is a worthless person. Bjorn is saddened about this news regarding Athelstan and says how he and his sister grew to love him. Floki pipes in and says that Athelstan fooled them. He was always a Christian and never converted to their ways. And I guess this confirms things that we've discussed before regarding Floki's hostility. I guess it only boils down to Athelstan's beliefs.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't like Christians.
So King Hork wants revenge on King Ecgbert. Rollo offers his aid. Ragnar wants to make Jarlborg pay first. And then a beautiful slave girl comes up and spills water on Bjorn.
Right away we know what this is about. I mean,
Ragnar notices.
The look
Ragnar
on his face.
Ragnar noticed her a few episodes back, too.
I don't think that's the same girl.
I think it is.
Is it?
I'm going to have to look. I'm going to have to look. I think it's the same girl.
Not all blondes look alike.
Well,
oh, I know.
We'll revisit this next episode. We'll have to figure out if it was the same girl or not.
My money's on it's the same girl.
My money, it's not. Let's talk, because I'm pretty sure about this.
How about, what can we do?
$1.
All right,
$1. I can afford that. Okay. King Hork reminds Ragnar of his dream to raid and colonize England, and he also points out their lack of means in achieving them, because they no longer have the boats or the men. Hork wants to align with Borg now. He says they cannot go west without his ships. They should ask Borg to join their alliance. Auslaug leans over to Ragnar and whispers to him not to listen.
You know, Ragnar is just like, well, duh.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got to be the most patient man too, because it's King Horik's fault. He's in this mess to begin with. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to keep my mouth shut. I've got a big mouth.
I at the time I wondered if this proved that there's more to Auslaug than just baby making and prophecies about her children, because I wondered if she had some sort of prophecy and that's why she leaned over and said not to listen. But I don't know, because there's not really more that came of that other than what she said to him later, which is not have anything to do with the prophecy.
So in addition to baby making and prophecies, we could add common sense. I mean, is that like a superpower?
She's a real princess too. She's been in courts, I'm sure, you know, so maybe she's a little more better.
She might have been in fairy courts. I don't know. She was found out in the woods.
I don't know.
I don't know either. So
it's just all I meant by that, though, was it's a bit of a Captain Obvious thing to say. Like,
I agree, but I just thought maybe she had a reason for leaning over and saying that, like she knew something.
Yeah.
So.
And she has had some solid visions already about her kids and Ragnar's issues in England. So.
Rollo asks who should go to Jarlborg. King Hork says it should be Rollo because who knows Jarlborg better? And Hork is such a dick.
Mm-hmm. I think he wanted Rollo to get killed. I thought he was going to get killed when he went over there. It takes a severe set of nuts to be able to walk into someone's camp you've punched, fought with, and then try and bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
True. Yeah.
You know, that's
lucky for him, Borg's a little bit off his rocker.
Mm-hmm.
A little.
Everyone is saying farewell to Rollo at the dock. Hork and Siggy eye each other briefly. Ragnar, I think, knows what's up with that coupling. I don't know if you guys noticed that Ragnar was watching Hork and Siggy. Torstein wishes Rollo well, which Rollo really appreciated, so their friendship is healing, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And as far as we know, Ragnar didn't say anything to Rollo in their parting. King Hork and his son pay a visit to Siggy.
Ooh.
Yeah, this is kind of gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't have been so bad if he hadn't sat there and watched.
That was the gross part.
I think he wants to make sure she's rocking his world. That's the only thing I can... Because he says, you know, he's only been with slave girls and whatever, and, you know, not a woman who knows what she's doing. So, I don't know.
I'm just... I don't know about you, man. I'm not going to be able to get it up when my dad's 10 feet away watching me. That is not going to happen.
No.
It's so funny.
I mean, she put herself in this position on her own. You know, I'm not saying it's her fault that she's got to do this, but
I do see where you're coming from, because she kind of went to King Horik before and she was like, I know stuff about Ragnar. Mm-hmm. I can help you if you want to be shady and treacherous. I'm your woman.
Mm-hmm. And then slept with him on her own volition. And now he's coming back as like, oh, well, you know, it showed us the worst side of him. It's just the more we see him, the worse his character is.
Well, I asked myself, is this what she thinks is brave, or is this how brave women act? And I'm not really sure if I think that is.
Mm-mm. Well, that's what I meant earlier by she's more ambitious than brave. Mm-hmm. She's two very different things. I mean, it takes a certain amount of guts, I guess, to be doing what she's doing. But I don't consider it bravery. Bravery, to me, always holds the connotation of doing something for a noble cause. Mm-hmm. Self-sacrifice or what have you.
Or doing something despite your fear.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think she almost does it out of fear. So speaking of brave women, we get to see Lagertha next and her charming husband, Sigvard. I love her dress in this scene, by the way.
Yeah, it's pretty tough looking.
Yeah, I liked the fabric and the net.
The leather strap going down.
Leather straps with ornaments on it, but the fabric, the reddish-white woven fabric was cool, too. We learn here that she did not have his permission when she led the army to aid Ragnar. He's glad that she has returned, but he's upset that she has left Bjorn with Ragnar. And this is cue for the ladies to leave the room, suddenly. When she says that, well, he is Ragnar's son, he loses his temper, but he is so drunk he can't even stand at this point. He wants to know, who is this Ragnar Lothbrok? Sigvard calls Ragnar a windbag and a pretender. Lagertha says that Ragnar does not need to pretend anything. Now he stands up, barely, and says that she is still in love with Ragnar. He then asks her if she is still in love with Ragnar. Aren't you, wife? She glares at him defiantly and says nothing. He leaves, telling her that she will sleep alone tonight and that he has made other arrangements. We see these arrangements soon after. She's attacked in the night. She fights for a little while, but soon she's beaten down by a group of men.
Before we go on,
she got code red.
Backing up a little bit to their conversation, this may be something that we just don't know about their culture, but why would he assume or expect that her son would come back and stay with him if he's of age to make his own decisions and they were just hanging around with his dad? Like, why would it be more proper
I think he's just a drunkard, you know? Mm-hmm. Everything, it's like, it seems to come along with it, the drama, you know? Yeah. What can I cause drama? How can I have, you know, make a big issue?
Oh, no, he's definitely an asshole.
Yeah,
I just felt like there was a connotation inside of the, you know, what he was saying that, you know, kind of says his, you know, my stepson's place is with me, not with his own father. I mean, did you guys get that? It's almost like it was expected, and, you know, she had defied the order of things, not just his wishes specifically.
Well, he was mad that she left without his permission, and then he didn't expect her to come back, but she did. So just to make it even worse, he's just throwing that in her face. I really think it's just throwing it in her face.
I think he's jealous of Ragnar, which is obvious, but, you know, and maybe if he could have, like, had the opportunity to raise Bjorn and kind of throw that in Ragnar's face or be like, well, I raised your son, kind of, you know, maybe have something like that. Because I don't think he feels like he can compete with Ragnar in any way in her eyes.
And if you look, too, at the beginning of the scene, he's talking about how there used to be camaraderie in his hall and there used to be poets and people entertaining. And I think because of the way that he's been drinking and the way that he's been acting, he's losing these things. So maybe it could just all bundle together. And then her son not wanting to come back, like, why am I not good enough?
Kind of compounds
together. And it's just the final piece of him having a pity party about how nobody likes him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I like when he tries to sit up and he can't even do it. He's just like,
He's a good actor. He did a really good job. Bjorn approaches the beautiful slave woman and offers help with her chores. He then asks, what is her name? And does she say Thora? Did you guys catch it?
That's what I thought she said. Mm-hmm. I thought she said Thora, but I'm not 100% certain. You think she really has a boyfriend?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, I want to say we saw him in a scene coming up when she's dancing. There was a big guy that they singled out with the
bald
camera.
Dude?
Yeah.
But he was also in a later scene with Rollo and crew while they went to do their damage.
Another dude.
Yeah, that's because I thought the same thing, and then I saw him later. So I was like, I don't know.
Maybe she's just hesitant because he's the Earl's son.
He could be both, though. That guy could be her boyfriend, and it could be, you know, a guy that was part of the crew.
Would she still be a servant if it was her boyfriend? I wonder.
Well, he could be a servant, too, and he's just like, hey, you're coming with us. We're going to fuck these guys up.
It's true.
So
Ragnar watches Bjorn from afar, and Aslaug comments that that the slave girl is remarkably good-looking. Ragnar says, sure, whatever you say. Aslaug wants to know why he listens to King Horik and why he does not avenge her honor.
He kind of keeps quiet about it, you know, feeding into the whole idea that, like there's a little mini theme going on in this episode about how Ragnar's, you know, he's extraordinary and he has all this patience and he just goes above and beyond what needs to be done. And I think he's just letting that get fed by being quiet about it.
I was going to say labor, but he was quiet for most of this episode, but he was the main mover of the plot.
Yeah.
I like to say, just as an aside, he kind of redeemed himself in this episode because I wasn't real happy with him last episode. So, and now,
I agree.
Now I am. He's back in the good graces.
Mm-hmm.
Rollo meets with Borg. He meets with Borg and Borg's wife.
Both of them.
Both of them.
And at first, Rollo seems kind of uncomfortable about this inclusion of the skull, and then he asks if this is fair to Borg's second wife, of course. Borg decides to ignore that question, and he wants to get straight to business about this alliance. Rollo says cooperation is the only way forward. Borg asks, so Ragnar does not want revenge? Rollo says Ragnar looks beyond revenge. And then Borg says Ragnar is a most extraordinary man indeed, and oh, how very Christian of him, basically. Rollo says that King Horik and Ragnar need him to help with raiding. Borg consults the skull, and he's guided to join them.
And he gives it a big kiss, though, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a real sucking, like he's
sucking. Looks like he was making out with it.
Yeah.
The next scene opens with Athelstan illuminated. Okay, these are my favorite scenes of this episode, by the way. Athelstan and Ecgbert. Okay. The next scene opens with Athelstan illuminating a manuscript. Ecgbert enters and tells Athelstan he has a divine gift. Ecgbert asks about the pagan's art. Athelstan says they can neither read or write, only carve runes. Then Ecgbert asks about their gods, and that Athelstan must have seen them as strange. Athelstan says that he found some similarities, and this is what makes Ecgbert kind of feel a camaraderie with him, I think. Mm-hmm. And then he takes him to look at some art and asks how he views this art he was now showing him. And Ecgbert feigns not knowing the origin of the art, but Athelstan calls his bluff. And then Ecgbert says never to tell the others that it was created by the Romans, and that the locals are more comfortable with believing it was giants.
They kind of have a laugh about it.
And that way there is no connection with the Englishmen and pagan. So Ecgbert wants to know how is it that a people who were pagan were able to rule the world? What is the lesson in this knowledge? So now we're back in Kattegat. The village is having a party, and Bjorn's love interest, Thora, is dancing.
She can dance.
It was cool how they were just, Athelstan and Ecgbert were just talking about paganism, and then they shift right over to the scene where that's a pretty pagan scene, you know, somebody dancing with that kind of wild abandon, like some sort of, what do they call them, like a whirling dervish or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good point. And they do have art. I mean,
that's just Ecgbert being snooty. Athelstan being like, just, I don't know, art is...
It could be anything. Even the Viking ships are
trying to. I'm trying to think. There was an art teacher in high school. Yeah. There was an art teacher in high school, and they were talking about how like art is only art if we all agree that it's art or something like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We've had this conversation before, but it's kind of like everybody has to view art in a certain way for it to be art. But you know, it seems like Athelstan should know better. Really, you know, that just because it's not English art. Just because it's not Christian art doesn't mean that it's not art.
For as educated as he is, and I mean, he's even been to Charlemagne's court himself, so he's traveled.
But it seems like when you have a culture like the Vikings, everything they do is kind of like an all-in scenario. So their art isn't always going to be something that they stop the rest of their life with. And you know, and say, okay, well, I'm going to stop doing all the things I do in my everyday life, and I'm going to go over here in a corner and paint. You know, like the English might do. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but like their art can come through in the way they have sex or the way they battle or the way they craft their boats or, you know, it could be any number of things. It doesn't have to be a painting that you can hang on a wall or a sculpture that you can put in the town center.
Their clothing and their blankets.
Yeah, exactly.
Their weaving and their fabrics. So now we're back to Athelstan, and he's working on some manuscripts again, and he is being visited by some more hallucinations with his own stigmata. Then Aethelwulf enters and says that his father desires to see him. And Ekbert has more art to share. He's high on this stuff. He's just, yes, come over. Let me show you my treasures.
It's a pretty cool room. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot. I mean, he's been acquiring it, looks like, for a while.
I just wonder if he's right in hoarding it and hiding it. Yeah, well, he doesn't have high esteem of his people.
Yeah, exactly. Think of the time, though. You know, everybody's listening to the Catholic Church and the popes, and the last thing you want to do is bring out these pagan manuscripts. You know, the first thing you want to do is destroy them.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't even got to the Dark Ages yet. Mm-mm. In history, in medieval times. Yeah. So this is even before that. Mm-hmm. So you got to realize the prejudices that
medieval times point. It is. Fall of Rome.
Okay. Well, then he definitely shouldn't show anybody. No. It's probably a good idea to keep it hidden.
The church has too much power at that point.
At this point, I was really liking King Ekbert.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks if Athelstan can read the text, and he can. And this pleases Ekbert, and he says that this is why he has chosen Athelstan. He wants Athelstan to preserve the works. But then he says, if you tell anyone, I will let them crucify you. So, when Ragnar had his relationship with Athelstan, he never really, I mean, he basically gave him his freedom instead of threatening him with...
With time, he did. Remember, at first, he had to keep him at his house and then slowly bring him around the village.
But wasn't the first night when he offered his bed?
No, I want to say that was a few nights.
Yeah, that was a few nights in. Yeah.
Not that few nights.
And he did that. He did that more out of a desire to see how this guy would act, mm-hmm. and to see if he was going to stay true to his character and his beliefs rather than him actually wanting him to see him in action.
We know Ragnar by now. He probably did want him to join up. He's kind of freaky.
He hasn't made that offer to anybody else.
Mm-mm. Well, once again, though, I think we're seeing Athelstan as a illuminator of sorts, because neither one of these cultures is particularly... Yeah, neither one of these cultures is particularly charitable, you know, in their, like, in the way they're portrayed in this show, you know, or too sympathetic. I mean, it's like I said before, it's a History Channel, so they're going to kind of be even-handed about it. But Ragnar had his flaws, and Ekbert has his flaws. You know, I like Ragnar better, but... Mm.
Well, they're both using him, you know, for his knowledge.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
What can I learn about my enemy from you? Both smart men.
I just think, you know, he didn't have to say that to Athelstan. He could have just left it as it was without threatening him, and Athelstan would have been on board.
Considering they crucified him already once, I'm pretty sure he got the point that time.
Yeah.
He got more than just one.
Oh, ba-boom, ba-boom.
Well, he could have, you know, he could have said, like, you build, he's kind of being ham-fisted in this approach, because he's all, like, nice and eloquent and talking about all these things and trying to form a camaraderie and kinship between the two of them, because they can speak Latin, or at least Athelstan can speak Latin, and they can appreciate the finer things in life and historical texts and whatnot. And then he says, but if you tell anyone, I'll have you crucified.
Yeah.
He could have built the camaraderie even deeper and said, but this needs to stay between you and I, trusting in Athelstan's character. And that would have been a greater barrier to Athelstan telling anybody than the threat of violence.
I think so, too.
Ekbert does have a lot to lose, though.
True.
All you need is the church to find out that you're reading pagan texts.
That's true, but I still think it just makes him a lesser of a judge of character than Ragnar was.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So that's...
Rollo and Borg approach Kattegat on the waters, and the village waits for Borg's arrival. Borg says, I hope you were telling the truth, Rollo. And Borg's wife says, why don't you ask her? Just turning toward Borg's dead wife's skull, which was, I thought, that made me laugh out loud when I was watching it.
Traveling with her, too.
God, this guy is off his rocker. He's got a pregnant 15-year-old wife, you know, holding his ex-wife's skull, lacquered skull, you know, it looks like, anyway.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it doesn't...
Even has its own little stand.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Later, Borg, so now they're in Kattegat, and they're having their gathering of townspeople and food and all that. I don't know what you call it. But later...
It's a party.
Mm-hmm.
So Borg approaches Ragnar, and Ragnar's like, have us eat. And he commends Ragnar for his ability to look past revenge. Then he offers his undying loyalty. Ragnar gives credit to Hork, and Ragnar says, but he realized that he could gain something by inviting him to Kattegat. So Ragnar tells Thorstein to put Jarlborg's men in the barn and to treat them with respect. Earlier, Bjorn asked Thora where she slept. She said she slept in the barn
with the servants.
With the servants. Okay.
That makes sense now that you think about it, because why is she...
Sleeping in a barn.
Right. Why is she going to be sleeping anywhere else? Mm-hmm. You know, because...
He knew and he went and got her.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
Well, that barn was getting cleared out of all the people who are loyal to Caddigat, and it was being stocked with Borg's men.
That was shown?
He tells them.
To clear out
the servants. Yeah, to clear out the servants and put his people in there.
Okay. Hork talks to Siggy about being surprised by Ragnar. She also tells him she is not a whore, but he says, oh, what you are, which is for me.
And Floki hears it. Did he hear it? It seemed like he did.
Yeah, I think he heard it, and that's why she was like, oh. And then she walks over to him, and she's like, can you keep a secret? And he's like, no.
No. He looks like I love the way they do his character. Just the little nuances with his hair makes him seem a little extra crazier every now and then, you know?
Or the makeup around his eyes.
Makeup, yeah.
So now we're back in Hedeby, Scandinavia, and it's feast time. And Sigurd asks a bruised and swollen Lagertha what is the matter with her.
Dick.
And then he has to announce how beautiful her breasts are to everyone. And he wants to show everyone. But she handles it.
Yeah.
It looked like she was going to be able to put up with a certain amount of shit. Mm-hmm. You know, she's bruised and she's beat up. She probably had some plans floating around in her head as to what she was going to do.
Something. Absolutely.
But for the time being, she was just going to kind of like keep a stiff upper lip and go along with everything. But then he had to start talking about the tits. Mm-hmm. And then that was it.
Oh, no.
And turns out some of his men at least are loyal to her.
Well, she... stabs his eye. That's awesome.
Well, in one sly move, I mean, it was smooth. She gets him in the eye and then stands up. And then I thought the guy was going to attack her and he decapitates him. So does that make her in charge?
Being the Earl's wife, I would think so.
Did that ever happen back then, though?
I don't know.
I figured it would be the guy that killed him that would take it, like Ragnar, but... different circumstances.
They kind of set you up for this, though, because, you know, he's such an asshole all the time. And he was talking about earlier about how there was always used to be laughter and poets
everybody
in here.
Hates him.
And everybody, they're not gone because of her or her son. So, you know.
And she's led, you know, they've probably seen her fight now, a lot of the guys. So that's gotten around. She's tough, not willing to put up with people's shit.
That guy had a sweet mustache, too.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, like, you don't see him like that usually.
Yeah, it was burly.
Okay, so... now we're to the final, what do you want to call it?
Scene?
Portion of the episode, where it's all starting to kind of tie together. We have Auslaug telling a bedtime story to the kiddos, which I think is helping with the tension, setting the...
She's a good mom. It seemed like a fun story.
So Hork is preparing for night-night, and he hears something, and he gets up and he looks out the window, and it's Ragnar with a giant pet eagle.
Facing away from him.
Siggy is with Rollo. Rollo does not respond to her caresses, and instead he grabs an axe, and she's like, oh shit, he knows. Like, she has a look on her face. Like,
stupid Floki.
So where are you going?
I thought he was going to attack that king.
Hork. I thought that at first,
But they pretty much cover that up quick. It's barbecue time.
It shows she was left out of loot.
Yeah. Maybe they've known that she's been sleeping with Hork.
I think Ragnar knows.
Mm-hmm.
Borg is trying to sleep, but he hears a bump in the night, and he asks, who is it? And he has a vision of the seer, and the whole prophecy is being told again about the eagle. And I don't know if you noticed that his wife's skull was there, too. He had his
I did notice
in
that.
Bed, and then
his skull next to it?
Yeah. Torsing first warns the men of the barn to stay still and nothing will happen to them, but then they set the barn afire. And is that because did they say that to the men to calm them down if somebody were to walk by with a torch?
I'm not
sure.
Just
to give them that couple of seconds to light it?
I'm not sure why they would say it.
I'm a little bit perplexed by that, because if they needed them to be quiet, then setting the barn on fire isn't the best way to do it.
Them. I mean... you know, maybe it's just okay, be quiet, you'll be okay, and then... Pff,
they locked the door, and then... I don't know.
Maybe it was to keep them from, like, battering against the door while they were reinforcing
maybe
it.
Maybe they were saying it to the buildings around.
Maybe. I don't know.
I honestly don't know.
Yeah, it was kind of an oddball scene, just that little piece of it.
After this, we have a meeting with Torsing, Rollo, and Floki, and that's when Floki arrives, like, from a high-speed run. Crazy looking run.
It's like he does a Kramer entrance.
Yes.
You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Good comparison.
That's, I mean, everybody else is just kind of like ready to go and doing everything they're supposed to do. This guy's just like, you know.
So Bjorn is not there like he's supposed to be. And Rollo asks Flukey where he's at. And Flukey, I don't know, Rollo.
Do I look like his fucking biographer or something?
That would be his theme music.
Bjorn is with Thora. He's offering her a place to sleep. She does not want to, but he asks what if he orders her to stay there, and he tells her that he would rather that she chose. And then she starts to take off her gown, and she asks as if this is what he wants. And she asks rather angrily, but that's the end of that scene, and we don't know what he says, yes or no or what.
Well, that's probably why she's been so apprehensive from the get-go. You know, she doesn't want to be just a... I'm sure, you know, they all know rape and stuff like that goes on, so I'm sure she didn't want to be put in that position,
or
especially as a slave.
She probably just doesn't want to roll in the hay with, you know, like the Earl's son and have it be nothing else besides that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She wants love.
Rollo and the others break into Jarlborg's quarters, and he is captured. Rollo says, I told you, I always look for revenge.
Which he did tell him that.
Mm-hmm.
Flukey beats Borg. Well, first he kisses him on the forehead, and then he headbutts him.
Well, they were about to attack his wife, and Rollo stopped him and said no.
It's not necessary.
Mm. He's got a conscience now.
He's got a conscience, but he's a hard man. He's sitting there watching the beatdown. Yeah, he's enjoying it in a hard man kind of way.
That just sounds
dirty.
I was even going to make a joke, and I couldn't. I was like, I'm just going to let it go.
He has those ludus eyes, you know, he just...
King Hork was unaware of the plan, and he wants to know, what is this commotion? Ragnar apologizes that the army of Kattegat has awakened him, and
he's
chewing on a giant bone. Hork wants an explanation, and they drag in Borg. Here's your explanation.
Yeah.
Hork wants to know, what will Ragnar do now? Ragnar threatens rather descriptively what he will do next.
The blood eagle that we've heard so much about.
And I'm just wondering if it's going to work out the way that we're hoping. Cause I'm not sure.
Did he say he was going to carve it in his back?
He kind of said. He said he's going to spread his rib cage open.
Yeah, he pretty much described, but there's more to it than just that.
Right.
Okay. Because I didn't quite hear it.
Like I said, there was not a whole lot of Ragnar this episode, but he was.
But he was the one. Yeah. I mean, it was a lot about him, though.
And Rollo was able to move forward a lot in this episode by minimizing Borg, and he's beginning to reconnect with Torstein.
So he's finally getting accepted by his brothers again.
Lagertha has eliminated her main problem.
Oh, yeah.
But what's next for her, I wonder?
That's Ragnar's backup.
Bjorn and Thora.
Naughty time.
Not commenting on that. King Ekbert and Athelstan. I think they would be a great union, except that Ekbert feels like he has to threaten him.
It's going to end bad for Athelstan. I think it is. I really do. Because he's just in already a really tough position, you know, and then everything else that's just going on with him, it's just going to end bad. I don't want it to. It's just, I mean, with all the visions he's having, and then torn between two cultures, I just don't think it's going to end good.
I feel like he's probably going to be the last survivor. That's what I think.
The chronicler.
Yeah, he's going to be the one to witness everything.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that.
That's plausible for sure.
I just don't think it's going to end good. Too many people. Nobody likes Athelstan except for Ragnar and the king. If anybody else had their way, he'd be dead. I know I would want to live in Ragnar's village. He's a good leader. Laid back, has a sense of humor, knows when to fucking fight when he needs to.
Yeah.
It'd be the place to live, I think.
Yeah, if you minded your own business and just were just part of the society like everyone else, you'd be all right.
Although I probably would have been in the back whenever... what's his name? Jarlborg showed up. I would have been the one in the back. I would have gotten in trouble for going, what the fuck's this guy doing?
Yeah.
He would have turned and like, really? You don't trust me? No. What is this guy doing here? I've got a big mouth. It wouldn't have worked out.
Yeah. This is crap. Who said that?
Yeah. Sea Stardust. She said it.
That was pretty much our speculation, huh? Right there. You guys have any more to add to that?
There could be more.
Okay. We're in the feedback section. We have one email, and it is from UK USA TV Addict. I don't have a name, so, and they say, hi, I just wanted to drop you a line to say how thrilled I am to find a podcast for Vikings. After season one, I was in two minds about watching season two as I had issues with the pacing and also Ragnar's betrayal of Lagertha. That relationship was so good. They talked, fucked, fought, loved their children, planned invasions, and he did the laundry. And then he meets that woman.
Mm-hmm. Girl.
Anyway, I am glad I came back to the series as I am really enjoying this season. And I love the fact that I have found a podcast that does such a detailed recap. The audio is great. The enthusiastic conversation is nice to listen to. I am really looking forward to the rest of the season and listening to you guys discuss it. And they say, have a section, Spartacus is what they titled it. I am listening to your recap of this series and also loving it. I am also surprised that I like this series as it seemed to be all sex and violence at first glance, but proved to be much more. Wish list request. This is another section. I love the myriad geek nerd genre references that you make and wanted to know if you were going to do a Game of Thrones recap. I, for one, would love to hear it. Keep up the good work. Thank you, UK USA TV Attic. Well, thank you for listening to our Spartacus podcast.
Yeah, that's awesome. I felt the same way as this person did with the with Spartacus. Remember at the beginning?
Yeah.
I thought it was all just sex and tits and dicks even, you know, so... Yeah, the show will grow on you. I think it's great that you're listening.
That is our first podcast, and it's rough. It's very rough.
That's all right. Everybody's got to start
somewhere. It's rough for the first maybe like 8 or 10 episodes, and then it starts to get better.
Wow.
I don't think it gets better till God's.
It was good all the way through.
Yeah, I mean, it's good all the way through, but I mean, it gets better is what I'm saying. It starts off and then kind of goes up, and then by the time we get to the last two seasons.
I have favorites from that first season, so that season.
But they mentioned... Game of Thrones?
Yeah, asked about if we would do a Game of Thrones recap, and Steve and I talked about that last night, and
Is there one yet? Is anybody doing a Game of Thrones recap yet?
Oh, there's tons.
Yeah, there's a lot. Really? There's a glut out there.
There's lots of Game of Thrones podcasts, so that's one reason why I wouldn't want to do it. Paul's way behind.
Very. Seriously behind. I liked it. Steven, I liked the first season.
Did you finish the first season?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah?
Fantastic.
So you got to the episode Baylor?
I got through all of them, so I must have. You know I don't pay attention to episode names.
Figured you would be hooked on that once you got there. Yeah. You're like, they did it. They did it.
And then I liked the way that they ended the first season. So it's cool. It was really well done. I mean, I'm reading the book now. So.
Oh, you started reading the book? How far in are you?
Maybe a quarter. Not very.
That's, nice. That's a lot for that.
Book. Yeah. Awesome. Sweet.
The book's way better.
So maybe. Maybe...
Do you like Jason Momoa better now?
No, I still think
what? When he got angry and he did his angry speech?
It's just they make him look like a douche with his little eyeliner and stuff. Ugh. And without the eyeliner and left him a little more rustic, I would have been better with it. But I can't help it. And he played
Conan. Like Floki's eyeliner, but not Jason.
Yeah, because Floki's looks intentional. His looks like somebody went up there with a little brush and got it just right. And these guys, people are savages, but his eyeliner and all of his makeup is perfect.
It might be tattoos.
That's gay.
Did the
Maoris had tattoos the other all over their face?
The other people in the tribe didn't look it.
Because he's a cow and he has, you know.
It just didn't look right. It just didn't look right to me.
The problem for me with doing a Game of Thrones recap, to answer the question, would be I wouldn't mind it so much. It's just that when you already know what's going to happen, it's real easy to fall into the trap of, well, let's discuss and compare and contrast source material with execution on the show. And then it becomes an endless conversation about like, well, they did this, but in the book, they did this. And that's not real interesting for people who haven't already read the book because it gets spoilery for them because the books contain so much more information. And it also gets boring to the person who doesn't care what happened in the books. They just want to watch the show and they just want a straightforward recap.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that I would be able to stay away from that.
Well, maybe if, you know, other people wanted us to do it, we could do like a bonus pod on a whole season. Just kind of like a quick run through, have some fun with it, post up one, you know.
Yeah, I'd be down for that.
We'll see.
Yeah.
It's not out of the question.
Yeah, that's
we can
not,
do
I mean,
something. We can always just, give our opinion.
That's or, a good idea when we're trying to figure out what we're going to do for the fall. Like in the meantime, we could do something like that.
Yeah.
Or if we're all caught up, I mean, you'll have seen all the shows and probably read all the books by this time next year.
Yeah.
And then
we'll see.
You know. It took me a good 6 months with summertime work to get through everything. But that's all I read from, I think, June to December. Mm-hmm. That was Game of Thrones. That was it, all five in a row. But anyway, I mean, if we were all caught up next April when season 5 comes out, that could be an option. But I mean, there's a lot of Game of Thrones podcasts out there to compete with. And we definitely want, you know, it's a lot of work goes into a podcast. Em does the majority of it, you know, and I know she wants people to be listening when we do it and not just to be another face out there. And one of the reasons why we picked the Vikings is because it didn't seem like it was getting a whole lot of attention, and we love the show. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I'm just not sure if we can bring anything new, like, because there are so many podcasts out there. I'm not sure if we can bring a new and fresh perspective.
Well, that's why we do it our style and just do a couple just for fun as a bonus. Like, okay. I said, if other people think that they would enjoy us to, you know, doing, we'll just give you know, our fans some treats, you know, and do some bonus pods and have fun and bring games. And if you listen to our other bonus pod, it came out pretty well, two of them. So maybe we can do something like that. Just have fun with it.
And, you know, UK USA TV addict, if you want, you can just go ahead and write us back, and I'll let you know what podcasts I listen to on Game of Thrones, because I listen to some podcasts on Game of Thrones.
Promoting other pods.
Yeah, I'm going to promote a pod at the end of this feedback section, actually. So, and anything else to discuss as far as what was in their email?
Just to say thanks for writing in, absolutely, for the kind words.
It recharges me. For all the work that we went through today, it recharges. I mean, with your internet, we're running this on a brand new computer that didn't even have an operating system on it, and then to set up everything and to get it running – yeah, that recharged me. It gave me some juice.
Yeah, today's the 4th of April. You would have thought it was the 1st. Everything we had to – the hoops we had to jump through today.
Every one of them.
We almost ended up going to my mom's house to watch the show.
Oh, man. You know what I mean? Next time you can watch it here. It's fun. Don't even worry about it, you know.
We worked it out.
I know. It worked somehow.
But it's letters like that make it feel like it's worth the time. Thank you.
All right, so we had the the Twitter thing going on again.
Awesome.
Last night. It was cool because last week I had tweeted, hey, if you guys have any comments, tweet us and we'll share them on our podcast. And we got a lot of people retweeting us, a lot compared to last time anyway.
Awesome.
And favoriting it, but they didn't actually tweet at us. Only Mike Spa and Briskier did. So if those of you favorited and retweeted us, I'm not going to read your comments unless you tweet at us. Otherwise, I'd be combing random comments off of Twitter.
Makes sense.
And I don't know if they were necessarily meant for us or not.
Well, I'm sure people who don't tweet at us don't want to be quoted on our podcast as if they did.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we'll just go ahead and give a shout out to our old buddies already, Mike Spa and Briskier. So Mike Spa, his first comment about last night's episode was, how many D-bags can we put in one episode?
That's a good point. There's a lot.
And he says, I prefer the ones who fight with honor.
That's awesome. Would Rolo be the D-bag that fights with honor now? Would that count? Or has he totally come out of it for us?
Oh, I don't know what Mike thinks about, you know, his honor, but I mean, he's, like I said last episode, or maybe the episode before, he's redeemed himself.
He's un-D-bagged then?
Yeah, I think so. Okay, but I mean, I'm if you're considering that. Horik and Bork, those guys are
and
like D-bags with
husband.
Oh, yeah, and like D-bags with the capital D.
Yeah,
how do you feel about Rolo, Mike? Let us know. So his next comment is Athelstan has the shining.
These pictures were painted by the Romans. I'm trying to do the kid from The Shining. It didn't come out right.
Briskier says, I can't stop watching King Ekbert. What a great character. He's an enigma wrapped in an onion. What does he want?
The layers.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to... I think Ekbert's going to be our wild card for this next season until we know exactly what he's going to do, because he's just like Ragnar. At every turn, you just don't know.
Ekbert's a hoarder, and he needs help. He needs to be on Dr. Drew. Get all this Roman crap out of here. Just throw it away. It's no good. It's trash.
Mike Spa actually responded to his comment, and he says, intriguing, alliance, frenemy, hashtag skull. And then Briskier Briskier says, hashtag douchebeard will get his eagle. Creepy skull talker begs for his life.
Oh, douchebeard. What a great
hashtag
name.
Douchebeard. Nice. I like it. Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
For now on, Dalborg is officially douchebeard.
Or just hashtag. Hashtag DB. HDB. Yeah. I mean, leave it. It's endless.
Yeah. It's
the potential
it's awesome.
Here. And then thanks for that, though.
Yeah,
I like
and then
that.
He comments on the story that Auslaug was telling her children, Logi and Loki, hashtag symbolism.
Logi?
I think he...
Logi and Logi?
He actually... cool. I think he sent us a link here. Let's see. I think it might be regarding that. Oh, it is. Thank you. I'm going to have to read this later. I didn't realize this link was here till just now. So, Briskier, that's awesome. I'm going to check this out, and I will bring this up on the next podcast. You guys are awesome. Thank you for doing that. It was.
That's at NoShip, right?
Yes, our Twitter handle is at NoShip. And, you know, if those of you who were retweeting us and liking or favoriting our tweet there but are wondering why you're not on this podcast, it's because you didn't tweet at us. So you need to do that.
Well, they're like me.
I'm still learning Twitter.
Yeah, me too. Not everybody knows how to use that yet. I'm getting
hey, you guys are way ahead of me. I've never had a Facebook. I don't know how to use Twitter.
Well, Facebook's kind of pointless, I think. But Twitter is different. I think Twitter, you get a little more out of it. I've actually enjoyed it.
Well, I'm not knocking either one of them. I'm just saying that as far as being able to use the technology, I don't know how to do either one.
Well, I can't say it's pointless. It's just not for me. Even though I'm on there, I just never type anything.
Okay, so one more thing before we go right into speculation. I do want to promote a podcast, and it's an awesome podcast, and it's called Saga Thing. I listened to their episode 7, The Saga of Ragnar Lothbrok and His Sons. And if those of you who are not afraid of spoilers, who want to learn more about the Saga of Ragnar Lothbrok, and I highly, highly recommend
this. Pick up a book.
You could pick up
only
a book,
only listen
too.
To our podcast.
You could pick up a book as well, but it's really cool to have them tell the story because they make fun of some parts of it. They'll crack you up.
And these are two professors, okay. Right?
These are two professors. I'm assuming they're professors. They talk about their students.
So they could be high school teachers. But they're educators, is what I'm trying to get.
In high school specialize in Norse mythology. So I'm assuming. That's why I'm leaning more towards professors.
Maybe high schools in Scandinavia.
Anyway, they.
Duh.
Anyway, so, but I recommend it. Their website is sagathingpodcast.wordpress.com. They are on iTunes. They have a Twitter. They have a Facebook. And you guys, if you like it, you should go and review them because they deserve reviews. So on iTunes.
Just like some other podcasts.
How much did you get paid to do that?
I didn't get paid anything.
Sure.
I just really enjoyed it. So
I don't blame you.
So, did you guys have anything you wanted to say about speculation? I think I've said all my piece, but
let's see. What can we cover?
Well, like we've already mentioned before, this is our most odd day of podcasting ever. Mm-hmm. We've had to go through all this rigmarole just to get here. And usually when we watch the episode, of course, M watches it twice before we see it to mm-hmm. just once as a watch through, once to do the notes. And then we all watch it together right before we go do the pod.
Yeah.
And it's at our house and it's on Amazon, mm-hmm. you know, so we just get the complete episode from front to back and that's it. But this, we had to watch it off of a download. Don't call the cops on us, anybody. But we had to download it. So we downloaded it and we watched it. Yeah, it was an emergency. Usually we pay for it. We're good kids. But we watched it on a download. And at the end of it, it was just like I guess this is a long way of saying we don't see it on normal TV. So we don't see the next on Vikings. And so we've got a little bit given away to us because usually our usually our speculation section is pretty much just from our heads.
Untainted.
Mm. Yeah, untainted. So it's been a little bit tainted. So we already know that Jarl Borg isn't going to be, you know, killed in the first scene of the next episode. Mm-hmm. We already know this. And we already know that there's going to be some scheming going on between him and King Horik, which goes back to the, you know, the idea that I put out there, which I was wrong about. I was wrong about that but when I said, happening. But now it's happening. It's coming around on the other mm-hmm. side. So about those two kind of putting their heads together to see what they can get out of
How many episodes Ragnar. Left? Four?
Four. Four left.
Is it enough time to have anything go on in England, or are we just going to get more of Athelstan having visions? And
I think they'll be in England probably in episode 8.
Mm-hmm. You think the Vikings will?
Yeah, I think
who's
they'll be back.
Who's going back, though? Is Ragnar about to take the throne? Is he going to have to kill King Horik? Because I don't think anybody at this table would care if he died.
Yeah.
I haven't ever liked King Horik. I might have liked him in the one episode from the first season where they all went to Uppsala. Mm-hmm. I might have liked him a little bit then.
Yeah.
But that's ever since then, he's just, I mean, this guy basically tells him, hey, make sure Jarl Borg doesn't come with us. That guy raids his village, kills a bunch of people, takes it over. They have to sacrifice more people getting it back. And then King Horik turns around and says, yeah, I was kind of wrong about that. We need his shit to, you know, get back across the ocean. And it's just like,
whatever. I think he might have pushed Ragnar over the edge of fuck this guy.
But you know, Horik was kind of cut out of the plans, obviously, and for good reason, to get back at Borg. So there might be some other plans that we, the viewer, aren't privy to that are already in motion.
I think so.
So
and now that he's got Lagertha coming to back him up.
He doesn't know that yet.
Yeah,
but
he will. I'm sure word will travel about her.
Yeah.
If she gets it. But
Thor and him, I don't think they actually did. And they, I don't know, we'll see. But I don't think they did anything that night because I think Bjorn is a gentleman.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a rapist like his uncle.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
And I don't think he's a philanderer like his father.
Ooh. No, I don't think so either because he's...
Because of his mother.
Yeah,
exactly.
When it all went down, he was pretty disgusted by it.
So,
little tattletale. Yeah. Or giant tattletale now. It's a big boy.
Okay. Thank you for listening. And next episode will be Blood Eagle. Episode 7, Blood Eagle.
Finally.
Yes. Hopefully it goes, you know, our way.
Yeah. You never know.
Ragnar's
though.
Way. All right. Thank you guys. And we'll see you then.
All right.
Good
bye.
Night.
Bye. This was a No Ship Network podcast brought to you by Esoteric Studios and Axolotl Tank Productions.